Okay. Pasuk opens up in the very beginning of the parasha. Vayidabo kim Moshe vayomer lov ani havaya yudkei vavke. Va'ela el Avraham el Yitzhak vel Yaakov bekel shakai ushmi havaya lo nodati lehem. V'gam ha-kimosi es priti tonos haras kran es erzgul ha-shakobah. Etc. So now Rashi, there's a few Rashis on this. So what's going on? I'm Havaya, but I appear to the office as Kel Shakai, but the name Havaya, they didn't know me by. Even though we'll find that the other Sakdoshim throughout Sefer Bereishis knew the Shem Havaya. And Rashi will deal with that. So, Vayomer Lov Ani Hashem, I'm Yud Kei Vav Kei. Nemon L'Shalim Schar. Toiv L'Malchim V'Farei B'Tayim. Right? You could trust me to pay what you deserve. Right? I didn't send you for nothing, but it's rather that through you I'm going to fulfill my promise to the Avos. After a mitzvah, things always, so Ani Hashem also means Neman Lipara, you can trust that I'll punish you. That's Kishomer, it's so Enish. Alright. So, we'll ask a question already. Shem Havaya means Neman, that I'm going to give you what you deserve. My name is not Yud Kei Vav Kei. My name is Yochanan Bekhofer. Right? Right? Now listen, because my name is not Havaya, I don't have to pay someone what I own. What does it mean? Lo yalel adas, any upright human being, and Koshkein, someone thought it was above human, has to keep his commitments, has to uphold the law, uphold his own law. Right? So Havaya, Shem Havaya is Neman L'Shalim Schar. Right, and us, our name is not what you don't have to be trustworthy. Okay? It's a basic shlemus. It's a basic virtue, a very basic ethical value to pay a person what he deserves, and also to punish a person as he truly deserves. Otherwise, society will collapse if you're not going to enforce the law. So what's that? The Shem Havaya is Nemel Sham Schar. Okay, that's our first question on the first Rashi. Rashi goes on. Verlo avos bekel shakai. I fit him with kel shakai. Ushmi avaya lo nodati lehem. Right? So bekel shakai. Hivtachim harbe avtachos, meaning the promises I made with the divine name kel shakai. Ubekor amati lehem ani kel shakai. I told him, ushmi avaya lo nodati lehem. Lo dati engsiv kan el lo no dati. Doesn't say I didn't make them aware. Meaning, rather, I was not known to them that way. Meaning, Rashi's dealing with the question we asked that the others did know the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, but just lo nikarti lam b'mida amitsi. I just they didn't know that mida, my true mida. That's connected to Shem Havaya. They didn't know that mida. They knew the name, but they didn't see the mida that's connected to Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. For which I am called Yud Kei Vav Kei, Neman La'ames Tavarai, then I can be trusted. Right, to make true my words. Sharif Tachtim Velo Kiyamti, for I made them promises and I didn't keep the promises. Right. And then the next Rashi goes through how. Right, he made all these promises with Kel Shakai, which were not yet fulfilled. Right, so what? Kel Shakai seemingly means, like a company rights limited liability. Right, like someone's liable, whatever it is, it's not us. Right, Kel Shakai means limited liability. Right, like we asked, it's a basic virtue, that you have to keep your promises or keep your commitments. But not only that, here is the point. Now let's take a look how Rashi learned. I'm going to look at three Kel Shakais in Bereishis and what Rashi says over there. All right? Here. And this is just, you know, a few, right? And remember, you'll see it's basically the same drush over and over again. Vayavram ben Tishana, Vatev Teshmi, Vayav Hashem el Avram, Vav Elov, Ani Kel Shakai, Hitachafana Vietan. I'm Kel Shakai, walk before me and be wholesome, and he's giving the tzivu of meal over here. Says Rashi, on the words Kel Shakai. Ani Usheyesh Daiva Lokusi Lokobia. I have enough divinity to take care of any creature. You know, Shakai, Sheyeshli Dai. I got what it takes to help you, for any creature. Therefore, walk before me, and I will be your God and your patron. Meaning, I got what it takes. I can deliver. Kel Shakai means I got the goods. That's every time you find it to me that Kosh Baruch Hu has what it takes. Dai Shalom. But of course, always you have to be mafarish in context. So now let's go here. Veronica Kim is to Yaakov Avinu. Ani Kel Shakai. Pray Urave. Kalu Goyim. Yeah, Mimeka Umachim. Mechatzecha Yetzev. Now you're going to be a big nation. Ani Kel Shakai. Shani Kedai Levorech. Shabroch Shili. You know, Shakai, that Miloshin Kedai. I got, Kosher says, it's Kedai for me to make the bracha. I got what it takes. So Shakai sounds ganz good. Even when Yaakov Avinu uses it, right? When he finally agrees to send Binyamin. No, Yehuda talked him into it. He's going to send Binyamin. Right? So he says, "Vekel Shakai yiten lachem rachamim lifnei ha'ish v'shilach lachem es achichem acher v'es Binyamin." Right? And Kel Shakai should give you rachamim before, you know, before the man. He thought Yosef at this point was an Egyptian. Kel Shakai will give rachamim in the eyes of that man, and he'll send your other brother and Binyamin back. Right? So why would Yaakov use the name Kel Shakai? He should be using the name Avaya, rachamim, right? So says Rashi, the Kel Shakai. Shedai b'nesinas rachamav v'kedai ha'yechos b'yodo litein. He has enough mercy. He's got what it takes. And he's kedai. Also, Moshim kedai, like the other pshat, he synthesized Moshim. You know, he's got the power. He's got the yechos b'yodo litein. Yitel chem racham. Zel pshuto. So, I just gave you the Kel Shakai is ganz fine. You know, Kel Shakai is not lacking anything. They say, no, Havaya is like the real meter where you're going to get what you deserve. In all the places we're talking about, he says, God's making a promise to that name because I got what it takes. I got the goods. You can trust me. Right? Right? But that was the Parsha Pshat, Rashi. So even Yaakov Avinu, when he needs rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to use the name Kel Shakai. He's got it. He's got enough. He has died. He's got enough to measure up to the situation and make things right. Umidrosho, but Rashi says one more pshat, invoking an interesting medrash. Mish omar lolam odai, yomar dailet tsarosai. Shoshakati minu urai, tsaros lavan, tsaros esav, tsaros rochel, tsaros dina, tsaros yosef, tsaros shimon, tsaros binyamin. That Shakai, this medrash is referring to a Gemara in Chagiga. Gemara in Chagiga says that at the time of Briyas Ha'olam, the world, HaKadosh was of infinite power. So at the time of Briyas Ha'olam, the world was expanding infinitely. Achagor Bahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Omar Dai. Otherwise, the heavens and the earth would have been infinite. Not that HaKadosh screamed at them and said, Dai. And put them Begvul and Bemida. So coming off that Gemara, this Medrash wants to say that he was saying, also using the name Kel Shakai, that Hashem was Omar Le'olam Odai. So Yomar Letzorosai, I shall say, die to my tzoros, because I haven't had any rest since I was born. And that's also a lot of kinusim when we have a kinus. you know, the kinos tshuva, because it sort of happens. I always, the darshanim always end off with this lashon. Mi shomar lo lama dai yom le tzaros seinu dai. And that's a very interesting nekuda to be oimed on. That the Olam was expanding infinitely, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give a ge'ora, die, and make it the world that we know, that as big as this, it's only, it has its gvulim. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just melechatchila create the world, the gvul? Why did it have to be that way, that first was expanding out of control, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ge'or and said die? And just like, you know, of course, just like he could say die after was expanding, he could milchatchila. Okay. All right, so we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Right? So now, the, you know, so Rashi threw out a word, you know.
It's still growing, the world. It's still increasing in size very rapidly.
Yeah. The point is, I'm good with it either way, as we're going to explain, you know, whether the world is expanding or contracting. But Rashi said something that you know, he said, you know, that Shmiya Vaya Lono Datem, my real Mida, Mida Ha Mitis Shali, my real Mida. And he says, and he explained like a line later why it's called Zul Mida, because with this Mida, Ma'ames Tavorai, I make what I say true. My real Mida, my Mida of MS, because with this Mida, I make whatever I say MS. Right. So I think there's a very, very fundamental point to start off with. What do we mean by MS? Is MS simply to not lie? Right? Right. When the Rambam writes, you know, and this really is part of our regular Parshas Emor Shmuz, but we're not going to get into all of it right now. But when the Rambam writes, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, right at the very beginning, right? That, right? Call him to Elam Me'amitas Hemtel. All everything that exists came from his true existence. Vusha Navi Omer Vashem Elokim Emes. Kiu Levado Emes. Right? Vein Lacher Emes. Nothing is Emes like he's Emes. And that's what it says. Eino Mevado Ein Matsui Emet Kamoto. No true existence like him. What do you mean? This table is Sheker. Right? The Rambam uses the term Emes regarding God. Regarding God as in contrast to all that exists and all that mamish exists. I'm not talking about fantasies. I'm talking about, like, you know, matter, energy, things that really exist. All those things relative to God are not called emes. God alone is the matsui emes. Calling into his mitzias is emes. Everything else comes from the true existence, which is him, but nothing is emes like he's emes. Right? That's what the Rambam says. Right. So MS, you know, it's clear over there, and we also write about it in our Sefer, you know, because the Rambam we just quoted from Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah run parallel to the Rambam's first Iker of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzius Hashem. And then Rambam takes you on an exercise. He does that both in Yud Gimel Ikrim, and he does it also in the Yad. He says, if God wouldn't exist, nothing could exist. But if everything else would disappear, God wouldn't miss it. Right? Like, what does he want with that? Right? And that difference is called Matsui Emes. He's a Matsui Emes. Without him, nothing could exist, but he doesn't need anything else. Right? Everything needs him, but he doesn't need anything else. Right? So the way to say it in English is, you know, the proper word to use to capture the Rosh Hashanah is that emes doesn't mean truth. Emes means absolute. Absolute. Right? Now, falsehood is the opposite of absolute, because it's what isn't. But you could tell the truth, right? But it's not an absolute truth. Why? Right? Because you could say that, you know, you plan to, you know, be here tomorrow at 9 p.m., let's say, and you have all the intention of doing so, but an oinus happened, right? And you didn't make it, right? You didn't lie. It's oinus, right? But your words were not absolute truth, because absolute means all the time, anywhere, no matter what.
That's more like a promise, though. That's an intention. Intention is a post. Always be frustrated.
All right. So now I'll make it a little bit more particular and get to the next point in a business deal. Right? So you make a certain deal of commitments, you know, and he on the other end of the table, he makes his, you know, his counter commitments. You commit to you. These are the goods, and this is, you know, what's in exchange for the goods, and everyone's doing business in good faith. Deal goes sour. Right. Right. No one lied. No, necessarily. I mean, of course, you know, one party could be honest, the other party could be dishonest. But I'm sure we have plenty of deals where there's just they realize that they're saying they didn't think of. So they have now a contention over that point that they didn't think of ahead of time, and he thinks be like this, and the deal falls apart. Right. All right. So even though everyone was telling the truth, but in the end, all those commitments didn't amount to anything. Right? Because they were true under certain pretenses, under certain assumptions. And once those assumptions were realized to be not true anymore, something changed. All right? So the deal falls apart because it was done under certain assumptions, and those assumptions came out to not be the case. That means all those commitments were not absolute. They're only totally in a certain set of conditions, X, Y, and Z. Right? And in the end, nothing came of it because it was only true within those assumptions, and those assumptions came out to be false. No one lied. But still, the deal is not binding. Right? The deal doesn't go through. Right? So even though, you know, this guy had all the money and this guy had all the goods, right? There was no problem with the supply and the demand and the remuneration. But they thought it was a dait to the hachi, and that das wasn't, you know, what came out to be. Right? The inyan of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that the Shema Vaya Baruch Hu, that's keneged him, that's called Shema Etzem, that it refers to him, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has no name, like the Zohar says. We're not allowed to even imagine as any name, you know, on a personal level, because a name would be a getter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a getter. But that name refers to him, refers, even though it's not, doesn't capture him, but it refers to him. Right? He's in absolute existence, right? So when he's doing business with us, right? When he's doing business with us, right? And we have our end of the bargain. So now, is he doing with business with us on our level? Right, kach that, you know. If we don't keep our end of the bargain, deal's off. Right. Right.
It also
depends on the other part. That's what you would think, you know, but not a bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, you know, the idea of Ne'eman L'shalim Schar, right? Ne'eman L'para, right? So we asked a simple question. Every ethical person has to keep their commitments. So the Shema Avaya is Ne'eman L'shalim Schar. And it's a Ne'eman L'para. Right? So I'll tell you what this means. And the Tomer Dvora, Ramosha Karaveron, the Tomer Dvora already dealt with this. Right? Hayam Min Adin, that if you do a mitzvah, of course you deserve Schar. Right? But what happens if you do a whole bunch of averus after you did that mitzvah? Right? So look, min hadin, Akoshko could say like this. Right? Like min hadin. Right, the Rosh Cordovero says this. Min hadin, like let's say it's sort of like I owe you $100, but then you borrowed from me 200. I'm not paying you back. You got to pay me. You know, because, you know, the 100 I owe you is neutralized by the 200 you owe me. Now that you, after all that, you know, you got to give me 100 even after all that. So how's it work? A guy does a bunch of mitzvahs, and he's got schar coming to him for his mitzvahs, right? Right, but he also did a whole bunch of averus. Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, min adin, I don't owe you schar anymore? Because I owe you 100, but now you did averus that you know, you owe me 500. Say ze bazeh, and then we'll see who picks up the, you know, whatever's left over after the end of Cheshbon. Right? But it gets even more complicated than that. It gets a lot more complicated. And hear this well. Right? That, you know, that schar is a sliding scale. A rasha that is not, he just doesn't have it in him to get to Olam Haba, he gets the schar of his mitzvahs in Olam Hazeh. Right? Right? And also, in Olam Haba, you say mitzvahs deserve Olam Haba. There are levels in Olam Haba. Right? So you have a problem, but you did a mitzvah, right? And after that, you did a whole bunch of averus. So the question is, who owes who now? There's that. That's one aspect. But there's also another thing. You just dropped in Madrega, right? That you can't go to the same place in Olam Haba that the schar was originally allotted to you for, because you're not roy for that place in Olam Haba anymore. You get a lower Olam Haba, or maybe you're not a ben Olam Haba at all after the averus that you did, right? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Nifla Mod. You know what? He's Barov Rachamov V'chastav. You're going to get that schar anyway. He's not going to say Tzei Zeh B'Zeh, that the Averis should neutralize the mitzvahs. He's not going to say that. Say, you know what? Averis knock out the mitzvahs. I don't owe you anything anymore. Or Averis brought you down in Madrega. So you're not going to get that schar mitzvah because you're not capable of receiving it anymore. At the time, you earned a high place in Olam Haba, but you fell from that level, so you can't go and collect your schar because you're not ready to go there and collect. Rosh Hashanah's not going to do that. You know what he's going to do? Right? He's going to give you kapara. He's going to clean you up. He's not going to say, let the Averis neutralize your mitzvahs because you might be left with nothing. He's going to say, no, the averus don't neutralize the mitzvah. You're going to get that schar. I'm going to clean up those averus for you. I'm going to punish you for them. And they're going to be burnt out. And they will no longer be a problem to interfere with, you know, not to neutralize your schar mitzvah, not interfere with you collecting your schar mitzvahs. And that's a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because min adin, he could say the deal is off. Right? Things changed. You know, you changed. You weren't the same tzaddik you were at the time when you earned the schar, right? And Ribon Shel Barov Rachamov V'Chastav doesn't call the deal off. He'll give you kapara for how you felt, and that schar will be shomer, safeguarded, that you'll never lose it. Right? And that's what it means. Ani havaya neman l'shalom schar. But also means, on the other hand, neman li para. You could be sure I'm going to punish you. And that's a big chesed, because the fact that he's going to for sure punish you makes it that the averus won't neutralize your mitzvahs. It won't make you unable to collect your schar mitzvah. So that's why it works both ways. Neman l'shalom schar, you're going to get the schar no matter what. Right? I promised it to you, you're getting it. Even though you broke the deal and things changed, the conditions under which you, that's how it's allowed, have changed. You deviated. I'm going to give it to you anyway. But of course, you know, shalote midas hadin loke neman li para. The way I'm going to do it is because I'm going to punish you on those averus and burn them out of your system, and that way they won't ruin your mitzvahs. But that's an amazing thing. That even though the deal is off, the circumstances changed, right? Ribosh will still give you your schar. And that's a tremendous haftacha for Am Yisrael. Right, yes.
So what's the idea of a scale? It's always given like a scale. Like they're weighing the mitzvahs against the theirs. What is that?
Right. That's a very good question. Right. That's for your din and olam hazeh.
It's true. You have to know what you're saying.
I don't think it is.
At least according to the Rambam. The Rambam sheet and Hilchos Tshuva, that's all for your din and olam hazeh. We're going to leave you alive or not. But vis-a-vis your olam haba, right? Vis-a-vis your olam haba, whatever you do right, you get olam haba for. Whatever you did wrong, you go to Gehenna for. That which we weigh every year in Rosh Hashanah is what we're going to keep you alive or not in olam hazeh. But whatever you did right, you're supposed to get olam haba for. And whatever you did wrong, you have to get punished for. Right.
What about the concept of ein lo chilek olam haba?
Right. Ein lo chilek olam haba.
So it's not like his whole life and then lose it, you know, just like that.
That's right. There's no ein refuah lo makasai. If he, but ein lo chilek olam haba, according to the Rambam, anyway, means you're an atheist, right? You're a kofer. You don't believe in one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. That's what you have to fall to. But even then, you know, kilo chol rachamav, that he could send you back to Gilgal, et cetera, right, but you're right. You know, there's apikarsis is very, very, very severe, right? But even then, lo chol rachamav to give a guy, make the guy live again, to be metakin. But you know, but discounting Gilgal, yeah, you know, there is a limit to, yeah. No, but the Ribor Shalom Barov Rachamav, you know, does this, you know. Generally, you know, apikarsis is just something very, very severe. You've committed spiritual suicide. There's nothing left of you. You go to Olam Haba, you lose your immortality. It's spiritual suicide. Right? Yeah, but a person who hasn't committed spiritual suicide, he has what he does right, he has what he does wrong. HaKadosh could easily say, Min Adin, say Zeh Bezeh. Right? You're not the same tzaddik you were at the time you did the mitzvah. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that. Right?
So to his wisdom, the same thing.
Right. And it's even greater on a national scale. It's even towards every individual, on which it says, Ani avaya nema l'sham schar. You're going to get that schar no matter how many averis you did. But of course, the flip side is, Ani Hashem neman lipora, because there's a mechanics to it. I'm not going to say, let them neutralize each other and I'm out of it. No, I'm going to punish you for the averis so your mitzvahs remain intact. Right. You know, but that's even in the individual. But then there's the national, right? When he makes the avtocha to us as an am, right? Right. So now, God forbid, we don't make the grade. I mean, that's Hashem Yirachem, right? That is the basis of Christianity. Am Yisrael sinned, and we fell out of grace. And we were exchanged for another Ummah. Not as they're all. That's it. You know, fair is fair. Okay. Right?
They're wonderful.
Right. So.
And you know they're so wonderful that they believe in Yeshua.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing more. Nothing more. We believe in God. They believe in us.
Yeah. Right. But so getting to the point, you know, that the inyan of the Shema Vaya that's being nizgala over here, right? You know, is that which is with the Geula, that with the V'lakachti Eschem Li La'am, V'lakachti Eschem Li La'am. Right, is being megal Shema Vaya because it's being done with that koach, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us as a nation is being done with His infinite power, and that way it has. There's no way to dissolve it. He's not making a business deal. Business deals are dissolvable. Okay. All right. So now we're going to go and analyze the difference between Kel Shakai and Havaya, and we'll understand also why the others. They got their avtochas in Kel Shakai. Why not Kodesh? Why is Kodesh stingy? He intends to be Mekaimdol's avtochas anyway. So let's get into what Kel Shakai means. Let's get into what Kel Shakai means, and it'll be Nifla mode. And you'll see, and we'll also explain why the others, because they were individuals. They had to get their avtochas by Kel Shakai, even though Kodesh really meant Havaya. because we're now with the Shem Avayim. With this, he intends to make up what he promised them. So he always really meant Havaya. Right?
They understood Kel Shakai, but he was really saying Havaya?
Yes. Because now he's going to make it true. And it's called, that's what the Gilu of the Shem Avayim, make it all that true. All those, and we're going to explain it all. Right? The Indian of Kel Shakai. I got Sheyesh Li Dai. Or Ani Kedai. I'm worthy, but also the root of the word Kedai is Dai. I got what it takes. I got what it takes. I have enough. Meaning, like Hamlocha Haisa Dayom, Lekol Hamlocha V'Haisar. The Hamlocha of the Mishkan was enough. They filled the quota. But you're still in Midas. You're still in measures. Right? Mida, even if I fill the measure, a whole quart, a whole liter, it still has its gvul that makes it a liter and not more than a liter.
It's also part of Dai.
What? Dai. Dai. I got what it takes. I mean, I'll fill the measure. The measure won't be lacking. But you're still in measures. You're still in midas. And that's, you know, any contractual agreement is, if it's a fair deal, it's supposed to be mida, keneged, mida. Measure for measure. But it's only this measure for measure. You know, he's not meant to pay 1 cent more, and I'm not meant to supply one bit less, right? And it's all true within the midas, or within the parameters of the understanding of the contract. It's all bamida, it's all bigvul. Nothing here is infinite. So of course you got to have dai, you got to fill the measure. They have enough to fill the, but you're filling measures. So yeah, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never going to give you a bum steer that, you know, he promises you, you know, a gallon and he only gave you half a gallon. No, he'll fill the measure. Yeshlo dai. He's got what it takes. He has enough. He's got what, Yeshlo dai belokus, you have enough divinity. I could deliver, man. Whatever I said kach v'kach amount, I got enough to deliver. I'm not missing anything. But still, you're still in the world of measures. You're still in a world of measures. You're not dealing in infinity. So you know you have enough, right? You have enough, and I won't shortchange you. Won't come up short, but it's not going to be infinite either. It's going to be mida keneged mida. And if you break your end of the bargain, the whole thing's off. That's how business works, which is all beside mida, connected mida, and it's all in midas. It's only true within certain parameters. Not only just the buyer and seller have to come up with equal, you know, equal value, what he's selling and what he's buying it with, but it's also, you know, there's all the terms and conditions of the contract, and that the whole contract is only true within those midas, right, of the terms and conditions. One thing's off, the whole thing's off. Right? So of course, HaKadosh says, you know, I got what it takes. Don't worry about it. I won't shortchange you, but it doesn't mean that it's infinite either. I have dai. I got enough. You don't got to worry about me not having enough power to deliver. I could deliver, but I'm going to deliver exactly what we said, and you also, from your side, you know, you're under the bargain. Your mida, keneged my mida. But I'll fill the mida.
It's conditional.
Conditional. Just like it's not infinite, so also it's not infinite in every way imaginable. That it's conditional. Only true within certain parameters.
Is that shot us why Yaakov was afraid of Esau? Because he felt that his Averos...
Yes, Shem Agar Machet, correct. That's right, that's exactly that. Because in Mida Keneged Mida, Shem Agar Machet, that's right. But that's not true if God would have sent a prophecy to an Am, so the Rambam says, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers no matter what. Even if they're Chayte, Nevuah L'Toiva is never Chozer Reikam, but this wasn't a Nevuah, you know, to the people. This was a private deal between Yaakov and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam. But if Yaakov had been commanded to say that Nevuah over, he would have had nothing to worry about. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes promises publicly, delivers no matter what. Right? But this wasn't public. It was something private between him and Yaakov. So Yaakov thought, because it's a private deal, Shema go yigro machet. Right? Correct. Right? But a nevuah to an am, Nevers Chozer Rekom, which is another indication of what we're talking about. Right? Private deals, you know, you have to assume are in a mida keneged mida framework. Even avtocha could be mitkalkel, shema yorchei, but that's in private deals. You send a nevuah to the people, or you're dealing with on a national scale, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicks in with the shema avaya, and it's done with infinite power. Right? So now, when Rosh Yeshiva Zechor Livracha, Rav Yaakov Wurm used to point out, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the Torah to the others. He held back until Am Yisrael was an Am. The others would have loved to have the Torah, because they kept the mitzvahs even voluntarily, and they would have loved to have been God al mitzvah v'isa, and Mishen al mitzvah v'isa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to them. They would have loved to have it. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited till after Am Yisrael was Yotzei Mitzrayim, Besoid Am v'lakatzchem lilam, and then to them he gave the Torah. So Rosh Yeshiva said a very, I'm sure it's already in the Rishonim, right? Because a bris olam you can't make with individuals. A eternal covenant you can't make with individuals. Because, you know, the individual cannot be the recipient of an eternal promise or something that's eternal or infinite because he's here today and gone tomorrow. An Am never dies. A tzibur never dies. That's what the Gemara says. Halacha l'masa, Gemara t'mura. Yatayachol lomar bechatas tzibur shemesa she'ein tzibur mesin. A tzibur doesn't die because all the doris are all part of the same tzibur. The Torah is a bris olam. It's eternal. Zos ha'tor lo te muchlefes v'lo te Torah acheres. Also, an un-Christian idea, right? The Torah will never change. It's forever and ever and ever. It's Morasha Kils Yaakov, Mayirusha in La Hefsek. So also the Torah has no Hefsek. Right? It's forever. Right? And it's of infinite power. Yechidim are not recipients, not receptacles, they're not Kli Kibul for something that's infinite. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't being stingy. No, but until they're Nishtachlo Besod Am. What? Yaakov made a little mess. Yaakov made a little mess. Right. But Yaakov Avinu alone is not an Am. His koch is mitpashed in the whole Am, but he himself is not an Am. Right. Let's put it this way. Yaakov Avinu alone mess in retrospect, once Am Yisrael became an Am, and an Am can never die. So, in retrospect, Yaakov Avinu alone mess. So the Torah is only for an Am. Right? The others were Yechidim. A Yochid is here today and gone tomorrow. So to a Yochid, for the promise to be fair and to make sense, he is here today and gone tomorrow. His life is very much Bemida, measured out. It's 175 years, 180 years. Right? So the Avtochas also have to be made, you know, if you make your Avtocha to a Yochid, you got to talk his language. Right? Kel Shakai. Right, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu always meant Havaya. Right, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that which he put things b'mida, was not out of stinginess. Because we know that the inyan that we have to do mitzvahs is that it shouldn't be nahama de kisufa. Right, we won't be able to look the Shekhinah in the face if we didn't work for it. Right, but if you're dealing with infinite power. And infinity cannot be added to or detracted from. So if we're dealing directly with infinity, right? There's nothing you could do to earn infinity, right? And there's nothing you could do to detract from infinity, right? But we're supposed to do that. We accomplish something. We add it to the world, or we detract it from the world, right? And that's the side, says the Ramchal on the Mishnah, Ramchal on the Das Tvunas. Right, on the Mishnah, V'alo b'maymer echad yecholi boros. The world could be created with one utterance. Magic. Let there be a world. But of course we didn't do it that way. Asar mamers, yehi or. And then yehi rakia. Tzubislach, in pieces. And why, says the Mishnah, let's say sechar tov latzadikim, lipar b'rishoyim. Says the Ramchal like this. If the world would have not been created b'midas, right, in quantities, we wouldn't be able to affect the world, and there would be no earning of schar, and of course, no deserve of ownership, but the ikkar is there would be no earning of schar, and that's the whole point. Right, so the world had to be created in units, asar mamros, and not in one magical maimer echad that would be above all gvul, that with one word, the whole world was created, right? I mean, it's just magic. A magical world is not a world that I could affect. A world made up of units is a world I can add to or detract from. So schar tovot tzadikim shemekayimim olam, v'liparshim shemeavdim olam. But that's all in the chitzonius of it. Don't you get it? That's that in the chitzonius of it we have a kinyan. But in the pnimius we're still getting ein sof. Think about this for a second, right? You would say, you know, mida keneged mida, right? That you shook lulav on sukkahs, you get a certain chelek in olam haba. Right, the Rambam says, even one mitzvah done once, lishma, bishlemus, is already zachal olam haba. One mitzvah alone could earn olam haba. If it's done, you know, with all the right, just one mitzvah alone, if it's done lishma, with no ulterior motives, does that make sense? The mitzvah of lulav, right? You know, it took you a minute to do, shaking all directions, and now that you got it from someone else, matona manas la'achzer, you didn't even pay for it. And you could get schar nitzchi, something that took you 5 minutes to do or less, right, and didn't even cost you any money. Where's the mida keneged mida? I invested 5 minutes, and I got eternal reward. So, of course, we talk, you know, very loosely, allegorically, how it'll be somehow parallel to the mitzvah that you did, but it's very loose and allegorical how this sug of olam haba, this sug shefa, is parallel to the mitzvah of lulav, as opposed to that shefa that also lasts forever, which is parallel to the mitzvah of matzah and Pesach. But you're just making philosophical parallels, but it still breaks the law of mida keneged mida. Because the mitzvah took you a minute, matzah and Pesach. So you gobble it in 4 minutes, you know, the machmir, the achilas pras, only 4 minutes, right? 2 minutes for each kezias. But it took you 4 minutes, you could get schar forever. Right? But yet there is some type of parallel. But the parallel is all just a philosophical parallel. You get a certain type of olam haba for a certain type of mitzvah, but that olam haba lasts forever. And the mitzvah only took a minute. So there is mida keneged mida, but yet there isn't. That means hiding within the midas is infinite power. That yes, I did, I made a kinyan, and I got this shefa that I rightfully earned, but in the pnimius of it is koach ein sof. That the Rebbe Rosh wanted an amazing, give us the ability to change the world, but only klape chutz, and hiding within those midas is schar nitzchi, koach nitzchi. So as even the Mahalach of Kel Shakai that was Mitzamtzim everything was for our good, to give us a chance to earn. Right? But, you know, but there was no Gilui for the Koach of Havai until Am Yisrael become an Am. Right? Because an Am is a unit that could be a receptacle for a Bris Oila, for something eternal. A Yachid can't, because Yachid is here today and gone tomorrow. So a Gilui of a Bris Oila, you can't have with a Yachid. Because this guy you made a bris on with is gone tomorrow. And Am is always here, and Am doesn't die. But even the Malach of Kel Shaka is only klape chutz, you know, to give us a handle. But once you grab on, you get a handle, you have a kinyan in infinity. Because hiding behind the midas is infinity. And Rebbe Rosh wants to be mative and give us infinite good. And yet he put it in a framework. Infinite power put in the framework so we could have a kinyan in it also and shouldn't be namada kisufa. And that's what it means, that the olam be'etzem is of infinite power.
But nation did die, only the Jewish nation is nitzchi.
Of course.
Tongue
day. Yes. Absolutely.
Just because Mashiach will come in and everyone else, all their own ways will be gone.
No, but you know, he's saying seriously, civilizations have collapsed.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's pointing out that even this idea of Ein Tzibur Mesim seemingly is only Mekuyim by Klal Yisrael. Because we see civilizations have collapsed, you know.
Ishmael and Esav are still around.
Ishmael and Esav are still around. But the Shiva Umos, Ram Amari Pasav, Kfar Ovad Zichram, there's no din to kill them. They already intermarried. It's called the Umma is Bottle. See, if you could do a DNA test, there's still no Chiev to kill them. because the Am already was Nisbato and intermarried with other Umays. So, you know, Tzvi's point out very interesting, this idea that an Am can't die seemingly is only actualized by Am Yisrael because we got the Torah. But the Am is a befitting receptacle for Bris Olam. The other Umas don't have a Bris Olam, so even though they're an Am, they could still die. Correct.
Is Amalek including the Sheva Umos?
No, he's not. Amalek is different, but we have to wait for Purim.
Even if there is like a...
That's right. Amalek is different.
DNA, that's all.
Yes, yes. Amalek is different. Amalek is different.
It's not one particular nation.
Exactly.
It's whoever is a particular enemy.
It's the ideology. Amalek is an ideology. Amalek is not a...
Nazis clearly are Amalek.
Oh.
Amalek is an ideology.
They even view themselves as Amalek.
Anti-Semitism is Amalek?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, but what it's the type of anti-Semitism that all of a sudden people get like hypnotized and the whole nation goes crazy, goes berserk. Besod racious goyim Amalek. He takes over the mind of all nations. That klipa that could take over the mind of a whole Am, that's Amalek. So it wanders from nation to nation. Was in Parsimadai, went to Germany. Hmm. It's a klipa. You know, it's a virus. Amalek is a virus.
Then it's Amalek.
Yeah. What? Yes. But yes, a lot of people have said it'd be a menu, you know, mamash, kale seir v'chotno. You know, their father-in-law and son-in-law, that, you know, that there was now a real zivug between, you know, in the ISIS is a zivug. It's mamash the zivug of Yishmael plus Esav, plus Amalek. A lot of people have said that. They were always meant to have that type of zivug, you know, because they're father-in-law and son-in-law. Yeah, father-in-law and son-in-law, you know. Most of the time they fight like father-in-law and son-in-law, but there's also Hashem Yirachem, the potential to get along and the big loser are the Jewish people when they're nizdavik together. Okay, sir, this is what it means that Haya Olam, you know, the Olam was expanding infinitely, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the outside, externally, Garba Vamalo Dai. That means in the Primius, it's Ein Sof. And in the Chitzonius, in the external layer of reality, if you could say that, that's where the Gvulim are. But the Gvulim are on the external, right? For the purpose of giving us a chance to do business, mida keneged mida, but in the premise, when you do the mitzvah, you mamash rakona infinity, because behind that mida, which was keneged your mida, behind that mida is infinite power. That's how you get infinite schar for one mitzvah. So even though schar somehow philosophically mida keneged mida, but in quantity, it's not quantitatively mida keneged mida; it's infinite. So you just had the midas kihechi to have a kinyan. I'm being koina, I'm giving this in return for that. To have a kinyan in it shouldn't be namara kisufa, but what's hiding behind his midas is infinite power. But so as I said, Mishnah says, there's a eser spheres midasam ein lem sof. The eser spheres, which are besod yasar mamash, they run all of them. You want to measure them? Infinite. You know, 10 units, infinite power. 10 units, but it's only units, klape chutz, klape pnim. There's ein sof, that's the atzmus, that's mispashen in the spheres. And kaidu the shema vayis, connected the atzmus, that's mispashen in the spheres, as opposed to the other dvarim, which are connected the kalim, the gvulim. The shema vayis, connected the etzim, infinite power that permeates all God's midas. Right? And over here, he wants to reveal that infinite power. Right? To make it very clear that taking Am Yisrael as an Am will be beside Koach Ein Sofi, which makes it that it's inseverable. It's unconditional. And that's why it's Emes, Mida Amitis, unconditionally true. Every other truth is a conditional truth. Only true within these boundaries, only true with these understandings, only true given these conditions. This is called the Mida Amitis, right? His absolute true me, because it's true under all circumstances, all the time. Absolute truth. Right. So now the Rebbe Elimelech in the Noam Elimelech, this week's parsha, says a brilliant mashal for this from the Tzelem Elokim. You know, the Shakai, Sheomar Lomo died, to put it Bemida. So Yaakovinu said, just like he should also say, tell my tzaras die. Enough. You know where we find this? What in the Tzelem Elokim is called Shadayim? the breasts of a woman that she's menik the tinok with. So says the Rebbe of Melch in this week's parsha, Nomel Melch. Right, Vaidabro Kim Moshe, right? Vayolav Ani Havaya, right? Even though Elokim is Midas, and Ani Kosh, right? But Ani Havaya, right? He says it's just like the Shadayim of a woman, that really there's Etzem, there's more milk than the kid can take. But the Shadayim have a very thin hole, and it comes out Bemida. Right? If not for that, you know, thin hole that the milk comes out through, the kid would choke. The kid would be swamped. And that's a mashal that Hashem wants to be meinik us ein sof, but we wouldn't be able to take it if it wouldn't be bemida. Hey, you know, it has to be bemida for us to be able to be mekabel it. It also has to be bemida certainly for us to earn it. And that's right. And that's right. Oh, and I've seen chapped where it's going. In the future, say varikosechem brocha ad beli die, ad shuivlu sechem lo die. Your lips will wear out saying die, die, die. It's going to be infinite, not going to be die. But in olam hazeh, it has to be die, because otherwise, you know, because we have to build up the kalim to be able to be makabel it. So it has to be bemida for us to handle with it now and to make a kinyan in it. But then after losilah, it's going to be ad beli die. Beli die. And this is the koch, that hiding behind the midas is koch ein sofi, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal by Yetzias Mitzrayim, to make it very clear that Am Yisrael's, you know, as an Am, is being taken unconditionally and with infinite power. That's a gili that's not shaykh to the others, because they were yechidim. As great as they were yechidim. A bris oilam. You know, a yochid cannot be a kli kibul for infinite power. Well, then, you know, there's no reciprocity, because he's here today and gone tomorrow. He's only one guy. An Am has the potential, mikoach the bris, to be a kli kibul for a bris olam. So that's why he made the promises to the others, you know, on their level, kel shakai. But now all those things that I made to the others, but kel shakai, you know, that's saying hiftachti v'lo kiyamti, right? They are now going to be right and lo kiyamti and bemezid lo kiyamti. Because I want to be mekayim it with the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu. I don't want to be mekayim it within the realm and within the framework of Kel Shakai. Because if the whole deal will follow through within Kel Shakai, it means it's severable. If it's a mida connected mida mamish, literally, you break, you sever your end of the bargain, I'm off the hook. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a bris olam. That means it'll be unconditional and infinite. That's only with an am. But not only that, the haftachas that he made to us, Bekel Shaka, he's waiting till Am Yisrael will be an Am, it will be Mekayim, all those haftachas with the Shem Havaya. And that way, the haftach, and that's for their benefit. They gained by the fact that it wasn't Mekuyim in their days. Because it would be Mekuyim in their days, it will be Begeter Kel Shaka, it means it will be severable. Wait till Am Yisrael's beside Am and fulfill all those promises of the Shem Havaya. And then it's forever and ever and ever. Right?
Bris Milah. It's called the Bris Olam, no? Bris Milah. Is that Kavan Tzibur? Where is the Bris Milah done?
Well, Bris Milah by Korbanos.
Korbanos, yeah.
Right.
It's called the Bris Olam. So is it... That's the reason Melech, because it never gets destroyed.
That's right, Melech, right.
So does that have anything to do with what you're talking about?
I'm sure it does, you know. No, just the opposite. You know, you have a kashanis. Where are the korbanos now? Right, but, you know, that's the point. Since we have it, the korbanos haven't ceased. They're just in recess because we're still the same nation. If that nation is dead and we're a different nation, so the korbanos are over. But the fact that we're all the same am, so it's called that it had a recess, but it's not called that it was severed.
That'll be daven.
What?
That'll be daven instead.
That's it. No, and that's the emun of Mashiach, the Roshiva used to always say, when we bring in our Savior. The emun of Mashiach is that we're still an am. You know, waiting for our king means that, you know, our nationhood was never bottled.
No, did you... You heard the tongue beat. You listened to the tongue beat debates, right?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen.
Oh, you
didn't
listen to any of them? Yitzhak was so superior to tongue beat.
Yeah.
Tongue beat is like literally an idiot.
Uh-huh.
Yitzhak, so strong. Even his voice and his diction, everything about him was so confident. And the other guy was like mousy. I thought you heard it because you sent it to me.
Yeah. I immediately sent it to you when someone who heard the shiur sent it to me. I immediately forwarded it to you.
Oh, what is this?
Reb Tzvi mentioned this in Parshas Vayechi, the debate between Yaakov Herzog and Toynbee.
Yeah.
He called us a fossil.
He sent me all the links.
Yeah,
listen,
that was recorded. It's recorded on YouTube, not a video, audio.
Yeah,
audio, only audio. Yeah.
No, this was before the age of video, Mistama.
Right.
You get all the audios.
Was it in the early 1900s?
It was 1960-something.
No, it was before the video machine. Yeah.
Because Eretz Yisrael was not very old, 10 years old, maybe 11 years old. But he was already accusing them of being Nazis, even then. Could you imagine? He's accusing Israel of being Nazis because what they were doing, so-called, to the Palestinians, driving them out, sending away from their land, accused them of that one incident where they supposedly killed a certain number of Palestinians in that city there. What was it called? So it's the only one they ever talk about because people say it's false. The whole thing is false. They didn't kill out the whole city. It was several Palestinians they killed. They weren't called Palestinians in those days.
Yeah.
They're called Arabs.
Yeah.
There was no such thing as a Palestinian. That's a later invention. Everything they do is false. Everything. Talk about MS. Everything the Arabs do is false. And the Western world foolishly accepts everything on faith because they hate Israel. They hate the Jews. So they're willing to accept everything.
All right, so this is the Gilui of Parshas Va'era. Kadosh Baruch Hu begins revealing the Shem Havaya, which is the Koach. It's the infinite power. To show Am Yisrael, was taken, and given a Torah, that to have the Lasei Slem Lenachla, the Koach, the infinite power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, just like it's infinite, it's also unconditional, and that's why Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, Kilo ben Adam Huli Snachem, Rebosh will never change his mind about having chosen us because he took us, with this koch of his infinity and gave us the Torah, on that basis. And that also explains the koch that there is in Torah. Torah is not, even though it's in a framework of Mida Keneged Mida, Torah has in its premise the Shem Havai, and that's why Torah is a world, it's a reality changer. It's a reality changer.
Neman le.
But the Neman Lifroa is, the Navi says, Hafti Hashem, Rakes Chem Yadati Mikol Shkotu, Al Ken Efkot Alechem Klamen Osechem. Navi says, it's because I love you more than all the family. That's why I'm makbid to punish you for all your sins, and I don't look the other way. It's to clean us up, so the mitzvahs remain eternal. So you have Schar Nitzri.
That's
all right. All right, this is what we wanted to explain.